this is actually a perfect transition into, we have a new theme for an episode. We're trying out a new theme. See, this might be a two-parter. We might do part two, might be bonus, monthly bonus episode.
Can we Australian that up? Two-parter.
Two-parter.
It's a two-parter.
You got onesies and twosies.
I got to start the very first taped in-person mom episode.
That's fine. Ever. You flamingoed me.
Flamingoed you. I zippity'd you. Now,
it's a real power move. It asserted your position in the hierarchy of our show. This is the very first ever in-person. We did live moms at the festival, but it wasn't. It was also like about the festival and interacting with the crowd. It wasn't
too specific.
It wasn't like our podcast, and we wanted to have it special and have it just before. We have some highlights and stuff like that, yeah. But we wanted it to just be for the people that were there. This is the first one that we're putting out to the public of us in person together. And I had a thing where you arrived and I was just like, oh, hey, Ramin. And just, I forget that we... Because we talk.
No hugs, constantly. No eye contact, just right, moving gear out of the car.
Okay, here, let's set up. And like I totally took it for granted that we are in physical, like actually seeing one another. And this is the future of just us seamlessly going into the cloud without even realizing that we've done it. No difference between us interacting in real life. And in person, I'm here together. This is the only like 24 hours that we get to spend together. And I'm like, hey, what's up, man?
Yeah. Not even that. It wasn't even that. It was just like, hey, do you have the disc converter?
I asked you for something.
Did you bring the disc converter? And I said, I thought you didn't want the disc converter. That's okay. We'll use the other disc converter.
Well, the other thing with our dynamic is that because you were like asking me about my life off of the recording. I'm like, why would you do that? Why would you screw up the whole show by asking me about my life? That's what we do. Once we hit record, we talk about
it. I have a maximalist, infinite approach to ideas to where I never want to get into the state of like, no, don't burn that. Save I'm it, always yeah. like, burn it. Yeah, now we've burned off the fat. Now it's like... real, but that's not really.
You're the improviser though, and I'm like the planner, and I hoard ideas a lot of like, oh, that's a, every time I burn an idea on the show, I'm like, oh no. Oh, that was a good one, and now
it's such
that's
an anxious I'm space to be in, though. Really, holding anything sucks, and that's what the psychedelic experience is. One of the main thing it teaches you. Of course, it's like it teaches you we're all one. Yeah. But the best, one of the best things it teaches is the like you're holding on to so much.
Put it down. I would concede that I am incorrect. You have the correct approach, but I cannot help my feeling of like, it's still the mindset that I have, whether it's the correct one or whatever. It's just this weird, it takes me a few minutes to realize I'm even doing it. My default is hold on to ideas. Don't use them. It's also like my upbringing was such was that like, you just don't ever share ever.
What's it is it New England or is it Midwestern? What is it? Both?
No, Midwestern.
Midwestern. Midwest. When does it become New England? Wisconsin is not New England.
New England is like Vermont, Maine, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Connecticut.
Okay, just that little pocket. Yeah, but there are similar East. Values though. I mean, I guess you could not.
I don't think so.
Okay.
No, Northeast is like pretty aggressive.
Oh.
I would say there's more similar values to the South and the Midwest than it's like center of the country, like really valuing like this is salt of the earth. This is what makes the world go round. All the east, all the coasts, like they might get to generate ideas and innovate, and that's all good and fine. But what we do is actually we put the bacon on the table. We make the stuff.
We transport logs. We bend steel. We go to church. We don't communicate our feelings. We drink alcohol.
But speaking of the psychedelic experience, which you brought, so this is also our first time not having the mum. So what happened was
not having the mum
studio. I sometimes don't finish thoughts.
Oh yeah.
And just presume people like
not
know,
having the mum. Mom right here. We you got and I are all the mom.
This is the first time not having the mom studio, and it's because I packed everything but the backdrop, and also I didn't want to deal with lights, and so it was either, and also it'd be weird for us to be in town together and then just record remotely.
Except
anyway.
Except unless we did that.
Oh, don't you have a
beep. McCool, edit my mouth to say racial slurs during that so they don't think that I was saying the secret and that I was actually saying the slurs.
McCool, don't edit his mouth to say racial slurs, please. So then I was like, well, let's record outside somewhere. I even asked you, I was like, is there like a quiet spot outside in LA? And there's nowhere that just isn't overrun with people,
especially not Hallows Eve weekend.
Yeah,
which is when we're taping this, and which it'll come out pretty soon.
Yeah. And so I've been popping around. I have several friends in town that I stay with, and I was like, I'm gonna pop over to Cole Marta's. I'll crash with him for a couple nights. And then I was like, you know what, his clinic is beautiful. And so I asked him if we could use it for a recording space. So shout out to the Center for California Center for Psychedelic Therapy. It's in LA. If you're ever looking to get ketamine treatment, or maybe you're someone that is would qualify for the MDMA studies, tough chance. You need to be in a real rough situation to qualify for one.
Go
of
get
those.
In trouble.
But anybody can get ketamine therapy, and I highly, highly, highly recommend it. And so we decided to do that. And then I was like, well, let's also have Cole on the show. So next week, you'll get to see the episode that we are going to record with Cole on the show. But when
I didn't bring a change of clothes, it's going to be this.
I thought of the same thing.
Did I tell you when I did the Pen Pals podcast with Rory Scovel and Daniel Van Kirk, where they brought like piles of clothes each and they taped 9 episodes in a row and they just like changed outfits in between each one? That's commitment.
It's not a bad move. I'm going to have to do that tomorrow for the Comedy Central recording.
Oh, so yeah.
But
do you know what color you're going to wear? You're going to wear orange. I'll wear purple. You wear purple, I wear orange. You wear dark color, I wear light color.
I got some orange with me, I think, that I can wear.
You wear what you wanted to wear, and no, then I'll play I, off I, of
I
that.
Can, no, I can wear orange, and you wear purple.
Yeah, okay. I'm just all thinking right, about the branding right. of, like, that's maximum amount of branding. And I don't think we can put logos on our shirts. I don't know
We can put mom stuff on.
Can we?
Yeah, 100%. Like, you just can't put a Nike swoosh or something like that. Okay. You could, but you can have any art shirt or whatever. Yeah, you can use that. And then it's also Comedy Central Digital, so it's a little looser. Like, we don't care about.
I thought they're
things.
Only digital it's, now. I thought the real one went under.
Did it?
Maybe it's possible. Didn't. No one talks about it.
Does anyone have cable anymore? I was thinking about how...
Not living, but some dead people, I'm sure, are still paying the monthly bill out of their account that's still open. But there's no one living that owns
people.
It. Yeah.
That's funny.
My parents don't have landlines anymore. I don't know anyone that has landline or cable.
My parents got rid of their landlines, and my dad doesn't even have a smartphone, and they don't have a landline.
He's got a Nokia SM57 2B.
Yeah. I don't know how you picked the model exactly, but that's exactly what he has, and I have it memorized. That's how I was able to recognize it when you said it.
Have you seen the smartphone that flips now? Not to get into another tangent, into a tangent, into a tangent.
I love the tangents.
But there's a smartphone now that flips. Like, they have the plexiglass polymer thing of a screen that can now close. I don't know how that works, but it works.
Oh, I like that.
Isn't that cool?
I think so, yeah.
We've come full circle. We've gotten to flip phone being out of date, and now flip phone is like the new...
You know what I'll be excited about? Physical keys. Bring back those BlackBerry physical keys again.
Holographic projections with haptic feedback, which I know people are just going to use it to project tits all day and just grab the tits. But when you get tired of that, type in on a hologram. Sick of
tits though. Once on that, you just feel them on your phone. Tiny tits.
Yeah, or you type with tits. Like it's got like an M on one. It's got an A on the other.
To feel a whole tit on your phone, it will have to like rub the like. It will start with like a little nipple, and then it will like rub the hole, so the whole tit goes around in your hand. It's so weird what we have access to, and then what we habituate to, because not only do we. So basically everything is competing. So it used to be we would have to compete for food, and it was scarce. To if you develop this sense of sweetness, then that's like, whoa, a berry is this magical taste that I need to keep an eye out for because sugar is scarce. And this is a way of packing away energy.
That's you with ideas. And your brain is like, get the ideas, pack them in, keep it.
And I want to get back to the ideas thing, too. We're on so many different tangents. It's so wonderful. We also haven't recorded in forever, so we're just like exploding things.
Oh, yeah.
But there's so we went from that to now having candy and things. So now companies, rather than us scavenging for hopefully one day finding a berry to eat and looking for flowers to be like, note that 3 months from now, there's going to be a berry we can eat. And that's our fondness for flowers.
I'm going to give it to the only female in town to signal.
I know where a berry will be 3 months from now. She'll get to taste that.
She looks exactly like me. We have the same amount of hair.
People would, Hanza people still today, climb up trees. Lots of them die this way, climbing up trees to grab a beehive to toss down below. And then sometimes they just get stung so much they'll fall out of the tree and die. Lots of Hanza people die that way. It was like so many.
Oh, and that's what I'm going to use my time machine trip for now, for the people going up the beehive. Reminds me of recently my mom was recounting this story of me just telling her like, Mom, will you stick this pole into this? And she just listens, like just thinking I'm the kid just wanting to do a random thing. She didn't know it was a beehive. I didn't know it was a beehive. And I just made my mom stick a pole into a beehive one day, and then we're just like running for our lives. It fell down, they're pissed. But she's like, why did I listen to this 5-year-old to just poke this?
Last time I let a 5-year-old tell me what in nature I should poke with a stick. We've now gone from that and things like fat and stuff and having a taste for that to now whole companies, like huge global corporations, spend all day, every day competing for our mouths. There's just so many people trying to shoot sugar into our mouths. We're like, nah. Maybe they're like courting.
What if it was sour and then sweet and then sour again? Ooh.
And it's like that with any of our drives. Like fear is like, now it's like every horror movie is Halloween coming up, is trying to get scarier and scarier. Just every one of our drives is now a business. Any one of our, you know, like 7 sub selves that we've talked about, of like survival, disease avoidance, affiliation, status, is now you have billionaires and like multi-billionaires, you can spend $44 million on Twitter,
and it's no different.
I was wrong about. I thought it was a goof. I didn't think Elon Musk was ever going to buy Twitter in a million years. I thought he was goofing.
Me too.
He might have got stuck. He might have got sucked because of a lawsuit. Whatever happened, I got to admit when I was wrong, I'm wrong. He just spent $44 billion.
He could flip it. We never know. He could sell it for $100 billion.
Yeah, he might.
Or he could lose the 44. It's all topsy turvy.
I have zero confidence in my ability to predict the future.
I didn't think it would happen either, but when it did happen, I was like, it had no change in my physiology reaction. I was like, this is exactly the same as it was before, but there's a picture of him with a sink now.
So you have status, like the separation of wealth. You can have the most amount of friends. You can get on. You can be in networks of. You can be in a political party that millions and millions of other people are in. Just every one of our things is hijacked. And mating is like, we also have the healthiest and least healthiest people on Earth. So there's like a million. There's got to be between a million and 10 million people right now that are more physically attractive than any human on Earth has ever been before.
Perfect like symmetry, radiant eyes, pheromones, just the right mix of sugar and spice.
Where you could take number 10 million out of 10 million of the most physically attractive people and send them back through time and they'd be the hottest person.
Oh yeah, you go watch those concerts with Elvis and everyone in the audience is a dog.
It looks so weird. Look at Mona Lisa. Mona Lisa was attractive. If Mona Lisa walked into a I'm sorry to like,
it's Da Vinci in drag actually. I don't know if that's actually true, but it's one of those theories of thing. And when you look at their faces, it is quite like, it does look like a younger him with a beard and slightly more feminine features.
Okay.
And he was, I think he was bisexual or gay or something like that.
I don't mean to be insensitive to the Uggs either, because the Uggs still exist. Uggs are great and Uggs are beautiful. And I don't mean to make anyone self-conscious, but it is funny to look back at what is it? Venus or what? What's the other like classic painting of like?
Oh, the Venus de Milo.
Gorgeous,
the one with the arms off. And, the arms fell off.
I don't know.
The gummy Venus from Simpsons.
I don't even know why I'm talking about art because I know nothing about it. But
well, you're talking about humans. Venus.
But if you look back at like a painting of any, like look at how, like no one has anything on like George Clooney or a like Kim Kardashian or whatever.
Yeah.
And I don't even find myself attracted to Kim Kardashian. She possibly is the most attractive woman that's ever lived on Earth, and I'm also just like, meh. Okay, because we also habituate to all this at the same time. Like I have sweet tarts in my pocket right now. If you go to like Hansa people or whatever and give them a sweet tart, it will just blow their fucking brain away. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I really
these have been
like
in my
that.
Pocket for a week. I could have put one in and had the taste, but my neurons have habituated to it. It already can play the song. I think of it like songs with flavors or anything that is a brain memory. Like, you know, you get sick of a song, you can kind of play it in your head. Same with any food thing. It's like, I can play that food flavor in my head. It's kind of bored of it now.
I just, when I was like, what song can I play in my head right now? It's the worst. You want to see if you can guess it off a hand flute?
Sure. The Venga Boys are partying. We like to party.
It's the Six Flags theme song. Is that what they? Not a great song to have in your head. When I'm like, brain, play me a song. That's what
you're not being graded on it, but like, you know what I mean. You know the essence of it. Like, okay, play track one. That essence. Track four. It might be out of order. You skip sections, but it's there. Which is why I'm fascinated by people who have what's it called? Aphasia. Have you heard that? It's the inability to visualize in your cortex is broken or something like that. So if you say apple, most people have either a really distinct looking apple. Some people have kind of a silhouette. Some people have nothing. They cannot visualize. And one person that has that is Android Jones, the psychedelic artist. And it kind of speaks to why his art is that way. It's because he like discovers it as he's making it. He can't see it in his head. So that's why it's so like big, because he's like, he doesn't see in there. So he wants to see outward wise.
Wow.
Yeah. He did a whole interview with Michael Phillip of Third Eye Drops. There's a whole episode where he talks about the aphasia. I'm like, you've got nothing in there. Nothing. Not even an apple.
That's amazing.
If I say your grandmother's dirty ass, it's got nothing in there. So that's kind of a superpower. I'm impervious.
Why would you do
thousands of grandmothers right now in people's heads who do not have aphasia, just like, no.
There's a whole literature of thought suppression. That's like try to not picture a grizzly bear or whatever. And it's just, this has to do with that paper that we talked about early on in the show. That should be a high, that was like a clip it and ship it thing.
What was the paper?
The paper is how to do, say, and think exactly the wrong thing in any scenario.
Oh, and yeah.
He said something like, your mother's ass.
Yeah, something like that. I don't remember what I said, but yeah, you think of what is the most inappropriate thing you can say to anyone.
Can I just, out of my own paranoia, check one thing? Whew, okay, we've never done this before, so
you didn't want to just have a conversation
of the scaries. No, not if it's not being recorded. No, thank you. No. Afterwards, yeah, for sure. But I am super scared of wasting a thing. I used to be. I remember going to Duncan's place, and Duncan would be like, "Ah, save it, save it," and I'd be like, "What?" And now I'm in the same boat. But I was thinking, because we are in a ketamine therapy place. I've done ketamine so many times.
Do you have a number? Even in the ballpark?
It's triple digits. Hundreds? For sure. No, it's like over 100.
127.
It's like right around there. And it depends on what you, if like, and I only say that because I sometimes do like two or three sessions at a time, so you
oh
can
those
like
count oh then I've done each, it twice then
yeah that counts, right? Yeah. I mean, how could it
twice
not?
But within the same 2 hours,
so like you can rack up those numbers pretty fast with ketamine. But I know it was different for you, but for me, the ketamine experience every time to this day, I just like, I can't make heads or tails of it. It's so confusing. And it's like, it's, you know, it's a disassociative. And it made me realize like, it's nice to have a break from associating.
I hate associating nonstop. It's like, I don't know, it's like being on the toilet all day or something.
It's just constantly with the ideas and like, oh, I made a new connection. Well, now you have to store that and remember it, act on it.
How will I articulate this to other people so they will unlock and lift up society? But then once I lift up them, then that idea will become commonplace. What's the next idea? What if I am playing a state fair in 10 years with my ideas and repeating myself?
Exactly. And with ketamine, it's just like, that was weird and interesting, man. I can't use that for anything.
It's the funnest psychedelic at the party, I think.
Yeah, it's your
everything
favorite.
Else is like, comes in a suit, and it like takes itself kind of more seriously, and it has like some kind of earth or space wisdom to impart on you, and the ketamine is just drop.
So this is actually a perfect transition into, we have a new theme for an episode. We're trying out We're trying out a new theme. See, this might be a two-parter. We might do part two, might be bonus, monthly bonus episode.
Can we Australian that up? Two-parter.
Two-parter.
It's a two-parter.
You got onesies and twosies. I love that we had a Australian. I was hoping for more, but we had an Australian, not just a transplant, an Australian from Australia. Yeah.
A blooming onion eating dingo all the way from a barbecue covered in huntsman spiders. Don't worry, they won't bite unless you're a bird. Actual Aussies, Swedes, we had Brits.
I'm reluctant to totally offer this, but I feel like if you want to come and like you show a plane ticket and you're coming all the way to the Camp Out Fest, like I'm inclined to give you a free ticket.
A free 50% off ticket for any food truck.
Certainly.
Good luck finding them. No, we should give 25% off, though.
Well, certainly some very steep discount that we'll give you on the ticket just to have you there, because it was such a joy to... Because if you're from Australia and then you come to the Mind Under Matter Camp Out Festival, everyone there will just be saying too easy and no worries to you in their best Australian accent. That's got to be a hilarious experience.
We have to.
And our Australian was actually, he didn't come all the way for us. He came to Burning Man and then it was like, since I'm in America,
I'll drive the distance of the whole country I live in plus some more. Or did he drive? I don't remember.
I think he flew.
But I love people coming in with European or other place sensibilities. Like, oh, I'm in America.
But he's from Australia, the largest country and smallest continent at the same time in the entire world.
It's biggest country?
Yeah, biggest country and smallest continent at the same time.
Oh, that's a fun one.
It is a fun one.
High low.
But if you're going from coast to coast in Australia, like, that's an insane thing to do. So if anyone should know, like... Hey, tracking where cities are is like Melbourne to Sydney. That's like, I don't know, 14-hour drive or something like that.
I thought they were the same place, but they just called it different things because that's their culture.
Melbourne and Sydney.
I just picture that opera hall with the like different paper mache shields of it. And that's it.
It's the thing. It's like
that's where everybody lives. They live in that building.
It's like the LA New York thing. New York is more. I mean, when you're in Melbourne, you're like, oh, you guys think this is like New York City? That's really cute, but it is like a smaller version of New York City. And then Sydney's like the beaches and stuff like that. It's a lot more LA-ish, but. Better. And I actually like LA. A lot of people talk mad shit about LA. Every time I'm here, I'm like, I like it here.
It's fun. It's got a lot of things bad about it, but that's part of what's good about it. It's graffiti everywhere. It's dirty. We're literally sitting on top of 12 homeless people right now.
Yeah.
But it's a beautiful city and there's cameras.
12 comfy homeless people.
Comfy homeless people, not worrying about a drop of rain. Lots of nice anti-homeless architecture.
Yeah.
Have we joked about that already? Like majoring in anti-homeless architecture,
like the way that that they put the little spikes on gutters so pigeons don't.
Exactly, but for people, like there's people camping out with tents, then they move them and they like install these jagged rocks and call it art, but it's just so that homeless people don't go hang out there.
That's so sad.
And it's called anti-homeless architecture.
Oh my god. All right, so here's the thing, and then this will get into some other catching up stuff. So this is something that maybe, if it works, we'll get audience feedback. If it's fun, maybe it will be like a regular or a way we update each other or whatever, or we'll do it weekly or monthly.
I think it's a new mainstay.
I think it's maybe a new, I got a lot of hope for it. It's so we have our Patreon tiers, which are Void, Visionary, Honey Bears, and Camante de Buffon's Camante. Someone pointed out to me that I've been throwing an N in there. It's Camate.
Oh, it's not Camante? Damn.
I've been saying it wrong the whole time. Never trust my pronunciation of names.
We should trademark Camante, and then we get the Camante.
It's Camate. It's Camate. Someone pointed out to me that for a year and a half, I've been saying like one of the mainstays of our show. It's C-O-M-T-E.
I guess there is no N in there. Nah, huh?
It's, we never, never, ever trust my pronunciation of anything.
Yeah, I was just taking you as gospel. I never checked it.
That's foolish.
There could not even have been that figure in history. I'm like, whatever. He's real. This is what he did. He's part of the show. People dress up as him.
So we have, and they go in that order of the cost of the tier, and you get more bonus things for each one. And so our thing is we're going to name one void thing, like one like bad thing or like a negative thing in our lives or something that's happened recently. I think it's within the last couple trips that we had since the last time we saw we've both been traveling a little bit. And then going forward, it will be like maybe a weekly update if we decide to do it. And then a visionary, which is something good that, or no, a visionary is something we're looking forward to in the future. A honey bear is something sweet that happened to us. And then a buffon is something fancy.
Yeah, fanciest thing we've done in the last couple weeks.
So I had... So related to this conversation, this wasn't going to be my honey, but it will be now. I did 2CB during, so I have to do a 2CB story for Comedy Central. So I wrote, because we're doing a ketamine one, and I was like, I have this 2CB story the first time. It's kind of wild. And they're like, done, let's do it. And then, but I'd only done it twice before. I actually thought once, and then I realized after I did it, like, no, I've done it twice before. And I was able to find 2CB. So I went to the Malibu Malibu Creek. Malibu Creek. Have you been there?
What is it? Is it an actual creek?
Yeah, it's like a hiking thing with a creek, and then there's
I've only gone to the beach there, and I've been to the little like shop things, but I don't remember a creek in Malibu.
It's not a beach. It's in the hills a bit, and it's really nice. I used to go there. If you're ever by there, go to the Malibu Cafe, which I looked. It's now like triple the price for their menu, but it's still worth it, I gotta imagine, and maybe the food's better. And I went and I did 2CB with a friend, and it's also, because it's LA, it's where all of the things, where several things have been shot out there. And one of the things is MASH. And so I was on 2CB, which is like a mix of mushrooms and MDMA, though at a lower dose, it's more like MDMA. And I think I had, at least for me, a lower dose, because it felt less psychedelic than the other two times that I had done it. But the craziest thing was I went through an area that was like where they shot MASH without realizing it. And I realized like, we both realized we're in Vietnam right now. In Vietnam.
Suicide is painless. It's the name of the tune, right?
Is that the name of the tune?
I think so.
Wow, that is heavy, dark. Right? That is heavy as fuck.
Or it might just be called MASH theme, but I think it's called Suicide is Painless.
I might have made that up, and maybe it's just called a MASH theme. And that was probably the peak of a peak experience, which is like part of the 2CB was fine. The company was really nice. The hike was great. I wish I would have had a little more. It was a nice subtle 2CB is known for being manageable.
It's like MDMA, right?
But more manageable. It's like MDMA, but more manageable.
What
like
is management?
This. You can be on it and no one would be the wiser.
Oh, it doesn't like radiate love and wanting to feel a stuff. A little bit and, of like that. You don't become too much.
It's just not as intense.
Okay, that's good.
And so it was lovely. But the peak was, it was just this little trail where you're just surrounded by plants that just happened to be Vietnam looking like plants. Like, oh my God, they must have just shot this whole show in this little 100-foot trail.
Yeah, because it's like just in a medical tent, right? Like that's basically the show and some plants. But the first scene fools you because it's like, this is Vietnam. But then it cuts to the sitcom set.
Yeah.
No, that's crazy. Of course it was filmed in LA.
And I laughed very hard. Like, I just experienced Vietnam while tripping.
It's not that bad. We should have stayed.
And so that's my honey. You want to pick one? You don't have to do honey.
I wonder if, synchronicity-wise, okay. I wonder if that experience took place at the same time that I was driving with my parents through Vermont because my mom put on the Alan Alda podcast.
When was it? Yesterday?
No, this is, I don't know, a week ago. Okay. It was yesterday? No, then that wasn't. But I just thought that was weird because I didn't know Alan Alda was still alive and I didn't know he knew what a podcast was. I didn't know he had a podcast. And he's like,
a science communicator.
He loves science and he's good at it. He is
well versed in science. And
he's 98,000 years old and he's still sharp as a whistle.
98,000 just recently.
Yeah. And he's good at science communication. Who would have thought?
Yeah, science keeps the mind sharp.
So let's see what I've got for honey. Recently,
it doesn't need to be honey if you don't want to start there, but
I'll start with honey. Okay. I don't have any. No psychedelic experiences took doesn't place during the
during your family trip.
I saw every family member.
Maybe you should tell people what you've been up to.
Okay, so I went to Canada, visited my grandma. Also saw my cousin who I hadn't seen in a long time. These are all people I haven't seen since pre-pandemic. We drive from Toronto with my mom and dad to Vermont. They've got a cabin there. We time it just right and we catch the foliage, which Mindy from Ornithology, Mindy Fisher from The Outhouse lives in Plymouth, I think. No, not Plymouth, Birdenstock. She'll correct me on this, wherever she lives. I don't need to give her away her address and social security number. But when I told her, I'm like, hey, I'm coming in Vermont. She said, you caught the perfect time.
It really is.
Of the foliage. It's the perfect sharp red to orange to yellow, leaves fallen, lake still as glass.
New England fall is about the best fall in the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was nuts. And just going the on that lake. The most
beautiful death you'll ever see falling around you.
It was cool. It made me look forward to death. If I can change colors like that and like fall into different beautiful pieces, sign me up for death whenever. It doesn't have to be 98.
I just had a horrifying image of you just pale and falling from the sky. As a corpse.
Not pale. It's got to be orange. Got to be red. Got to be yellow. I've got to give you the specific Pantone colors to match. Yeah. Otherwise, it won't count as that. So we drive to Vermont, stay at the cabin. Cabin's beautiful. We barbecue. Barbecue's good. Then we drive all the way to Boston, see my new baby niece, just a little tiny loaf of bread right now. See my brother, see his wife, hang out with them for a while. But then staying at my parents' place in Boston, they've got all these old boxes from our old house. Like, so my childhood is compressed into several moving corporate box looking things, and I open one up and I've got my kindergarten yearbook from Canada, and it's got no names in it. I don't know if that's a Canadian thing or what, but it's just pictures. It's no names for the teachers. What? Just little pictures of little munchkins, like sorted by grade. And I'm just remembering all these characters from kindergarten. I'm like, holy fuck.
And you recognize people without the names?
I remember eyes. I was just realizing that recently. Like, if I've seen your eyes before, I've got you down forever. I know that person. And so much is encoded in it. Like, it's the most thing we associate with people. I think even more, I mean, for people that can see, obviously, if you're blind, you probably associate voice or smell or something. But with eyes, if you see someone's eyes, it's like, that's, I'm, no one's fooling me with that.
Are you an eye looker?
Mm-hmm.
You just meet someone, you look them in the eye. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't do the intense, like, don't blink and stay for 5 seconds. I'll keep it moving, but I'll be an eye looker. I didn't used to be until one day, this was back in high school or something. I was talking to this girl, a friend of a friend, and I think I was nervous at the time. Mm-hmm. And I just couldn't look her in the face. I was like just darting around everywhere. I couldn't take the intensity. I didn't want to do it. And she just kind of coyly goes like, "You don't look people in the eyes much, do you?" And then that like just kind of hit me somewhere, and then I immediately shifted to where it was like too much the other way. I'm like, yeah, that's not true. I was just kind of looking at a fly or something. But then from that day forward, I was like, yeah, I'll try keep it going here. But I got that kindergarten yearbook, seeing all the faces, and then I spent the evening like looking them up on Facebook and Instagram.
Oh, that's lovely.
Being like, hey, remember this little guy, and just blowing people's minds who I hadn't seen since. Since we're that big. And a lot of them had great stories. They're like, oh, this is so cool. After my parents' divorce, it was so ugly. All that stuff got lost. I haven't seen that picture in years.
That is delightful.
So that's my honey. That's all I can remember. And, you know, seeing the family and stuff is good.
I also got to hang out with some scientists recently during a conference. And that was fun because I was intimidated at first. And then it got, I'm used to talking to scientists about their work, but not hanging out with them like in a group, so that was fun.
Yeah, that's probably more that's way more easy probably, because you got no problem hanging. But then it's like when you're having to recall knowledge about specific research.
And no, hanging took me a second to, I think I'm socially, like, it takes me a second. I don't think I take to it's probably why I drink so damn much, or used to, or do and intermittently, is because social lubricant. But I don't know. That's another thing.
You like altered states for sure.
I love altered states. Also, it's been okay. That, well, this gets us into the visionary thing I'm looking for. So it's now been over a month since I've had alcohol, cigarettes, TV, and teach you.
One day left.
And I deleted. And about a month since I deleted Instagram from my phone. I'm not doing all those things. I'll eventually get back into TV and Instagram, but I'm certainly not drinking or smoking cigarettes at least until the end of the year. I think I'm shooting for Mumfest next year. I like myself and my productivity and everything else more. I also, when I start drinking again, I'm like, well, I also like this Shane a little bit. And I look... It would be unfair of me to not give that guy any credit, because that's also an experience. It's like,
He got you on many paths, and he gave you many stories. Yeah, probably more stories than regular Shane has given you.
Yeah, yeah. And so, like, it's easy for me to be like, fuck that guy, but to, like, not be hungover and to feel healthier. That's something I'm looking forward to.
Have you ever tried those things, those like anti-hangover shots that you take? And then,
no, you?
No, but I was wondering.
But you don't get hangovers.
No, but just I was wondering if you knew anything about the research of it, like whether it's legit or if it's snake oil.
Well, there's got to be things.
Like if it's just vitamin B or something, I don't know.
There's probably things.
Yeah.
I bet there's things. Yeah. I would buy, I'm sure there's lots of snake oil hangover cures, and I'm sure there's also a couple legit things, like the saline thing, other than like unnecessarily risking infections by jabbing things into your veins.
Saline is just salt
or whatever.
O3 injections,
whatever the hydration, the thing that people do. I don't know. It's all
oxygen. I forget.
No. I think it's just
IV drip.
The IV drip for. I could see why that would make sense to get super hydrated. I could also see why, like, I just don't know a damn thing about nutrition, but I could see how, like, maybe some fatty this or that. Some people swear by having, like, a big fatty burger or something.
Speaking of fatty, Mark Norman's, I heard his bachelor party with, like, Ari Shaffir and Bert Kreischer and, like, all these characters. They did IV drops throughout the bachelor party. They would go so hard that the next morning they had a nurse on call to wire him in.
That makes sense.
Yeah, just like all these comics in their 40s, like, yeah, still doing it, like, pump me back up.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I go pretty hard when I'm drinking, so I don't know how much more that I have in me. I worry about my brain health most of all. Especially because it's not like I have some amazing ability to recall things. I already have enough tip of the tongue moments as it is, and alcohol's not going to help.
Push you over to where there's no recall?
I don't know.
Whatever makes for the better show.
But I think that's my vision. Did you pick up a vice? Were you able to pick up a vice? No vices? I mean, all October, no vice. So disappointing. We'll get you a voice one day.
I've got one more day left. I can still find one.
Yeah, maybe. I have zero confidence with you kids. It's hilarious that you don't have a voice. It's so peculiar. It's stranger for a person to not have a vice than to have a vice.
It might be just under my nose. Like, I might be doing
something that you're
heroin
not
or something.
Have you asked Kat if you have a vice? You should ask Kat if you have a vice.
Yeah, I should. I mean, I already joked about it's like YouTube, but even then, I get tired of YouTube.
Okay.
Spending too long in the shower, but I get kicked out of the shower when the water changes temperature.
Yeah.
Which, that's like, you're so at the mercy of whatever house you live in, whether you own the house or rent it. Like, some people's house has like consistent hot water forever. Yeah. And sometimes you just get a place that it's like, today you get 2 minutes of hot water. Next week you get 30 seconds.
All I get is guilt. I just get guilt of wasting too much water. Otherwise, I would be in a shower for hours at a time.
Oh, it's the best. It's Idea City.
Have you ever been in the showers that have like the multiple things like everywhere?
Oh, I would love to be like in one of those
people showers.
Yeah, Kohl showers, not Kohl Marta, but Kohl.
Kohler. Is that what they're called?
It's like a brand. It's like a very uppity, like, introducing the rainfall ceiling shower. It's like all shower from the ceiling.
And the rainfall's not even the good one, though. You need things on the side, too. You need all sorts of...
Yeah, the angle, Jerry. You gotta have the angle.
Oh, this gets me to my bouffant.
Ooh! Boof me.
My friends... So another place that I stayed while I was here, my friends Jake and Polly. Jake Baker, he still does some comedy here and there, but he just, like, kind of... funny guy, he just kind of lost interest and does other stuff, but they're always like, they have a nice little house and they're always adding little things to it. Nothing, they're like kind of minimalist but also spruce. I go there and it's like, okay, now this meditation area is like a chicken farm instead. They don't have tons of space, but they're always doing something like interesting, like higher end hippie stuff, basically. And this time they had bidet.
Ooh, you're never going back.
Have you done bidets?
Every day.
You have a bidet?
First thing in the morning. I've got the cleanest ass in town. I would be very popular with the gays. I haven't checked yet, but one day I should be like, am I good? Am I above average? Am I the best?
You think you'd be the best?
Yeah. I actually saw an ad recently and it's got this cartoon figure of the ass like just pointing up at you. And then the cartoon's figure is looking through the bottom and it's an ad targeted towards bottoms in the gay community. And it's like a douche for your ass, of course. And it's like, it's the number one douche solution for you. And I thought it was crazy that it's like, this is just showing up in Instagram ads.
We're douching asses now. Mm-hmm. I guess I never thought of that.
Well, okay. Yeah. You'd want to douche the ass more than you would the puss.
Never, please never douche the puss. I mean, maybe if there's like a, maybe if you're in a real pinch and it's been, maybe if you're at like day five of Mumfest and you haven't showered yeah. and then you meet that special someone, but please, like it's a different scent to like you smelling it yourself than it is to guys. It's like, it's, I haven't worn deodorant in like 7 years or something. And everyone's like, oh, you don't wear it. It's like, I promise you, my armpits smell better than
he
anyone.
He smells good.
Anyone you that smells deodorant, I
write
mean,
it down.
I can tell you, like, ladies smell my pits all. I get so many compliments on how my pits smell. It's incredible. And that never happened when I wore deodorant. And there's a parallel universe where Shane keeps on wearing deodorant, like rubbing. I used to rub some on my chest, like just Old Spice. Maybe a mountain scent. Oh, maybe a mountain scent is what will. That's what. What? There's a parallel universe where I'm still trying out various mountain scents and rubbing it on my chest like a lunatic. There's people listening right now. They're like, you have to rub it on your chest like a lunatic. You do not.
Just this, oh, we gotta have a lunatic strip on the,
we have to have a lunatic in our thing, the craziest
of
thing
of course we
done.
Do
oh my god, how did I almost miss that?
Oh, I gotta think. Wait, what are we even on now?
Okay, we're on the Buffon.
Oh, we're on Buffon,
but what's... let me, so this is a different situation. I don't know how to tell this story in the best way.
Tell it in the mediumest way,
because I don't know when to present the in what order to present the information.
Oh, so it has the most punch.
Yeah, so they have the fanciest toilet I've ever seen in my entire life, and they aren't fancy people, but this is like the most expensive thing in there. If you're gonna rob them, it's for this bidet, and it's just this huge like egg shape. It has like glowing lights and stuff like that. It has a thing on the button
remote
that you
control.
Press it. Like, it has a remote control and music? Stuff like that. It has a seat warmer, and it's all one thing. It's not just a thing that you put on top of a regular toilet. It's all just the most magnificent toilet ever. And he goes, here's the thing, you see, that's where you control it. There's the remote. You got the, like the back, the front, the flush, the dryer, the stop. And so I'm like, okay. And now I have a naive butthole. I've the most that's ever been up my butt is a girl's tiny little pinky finger. I don't even think it made it to the first knuckle before I started screaming.
Wait, did you ask for it or was it a surprise?
She was insistent I was going to love this.
Perhaps, and people did in the
I'm
past.
Sure that maybe there's just a thing I need to break through. I'm sure this is my own, like, I'm sure everyone's right. And I would just absolutely, people have tried to talk me into butt stuff so many times.
Is it because of shit? Because I feel like if there wasn't such thing as shit, then like I would stick this up there, stick this up there. Like whoever's walking across the street, you can stick your fist up me. But it's too.
It's not even that. There's a sensitivity. Like I have very sensitive nipples. I think from like titty twisters in high school. I can't have any. Like I can't. Have I told you this before? I have once April. So April basically I was dating. I told her I was like, there'd be times. So before that, Maggie, when we first started hooking up, she would start. So she didn't know that I had nipple sensitivities, and it's a weird thing to bring up to someone. And so she'd be like wrenching on my nipples because she had only had one other. She got married, or she was like a good like church girl or whatever, and was like, this is how life is supposed to go. You marry someone and then you lose your virginity. Mm. And her one person she had been with apparently liked his nipples being wrenched on. And so when she just went to, I lasted like forever because it was horrific. It was horrifically painful. I hated it. And so I had like all sorts of sanima because it was a horribly painful event. And but it was exciting enough still. Like, it doesn't matter how bad, like, new sex with that new exciting, like, especially at the age that I was at, like, everything about it was so exciting otherwise that, like, if there wasn't someone and so then once I, like, got up the nerve to tell her about it, I didn't like it. One, she felt dumb. So you always tell someone. It's like letting someone mispronounce your name for too long, where then it's like, well, now it's 3 months and it's fucking awkward. Now
yeah, I'm Raymond to this group of people. That's how it goes. Kind of like it. It helps me keep track of the friend groups. This group, I'm Raymond. I'm Ramon here. Rambo up top.
So finally I told her that I didn't last nearly as long after that once we were just having regular sex. So then I'm with April Macy and she was always a sneaker and she always had a really funny, like, her stand-up's good, but she was always, like, way funnier in real life to me. She always made me laugh very hard. But she was also, like, funny in the bedroom, which is great. Like, when you can make someone laugh. And she was hilarious.
Like, and always or just sometimes?
Not always, but, like, a lot of times. Yeah, like, there are things. I don't know, they're like.
You said the screaming into the butthole bit before.
Yeah, I put on a special. But there'd be things that, let me check in with my comfort level. And maybe I'll share in the future. I also don't know what I should be sharing about another person. But she'd be fine with this story. She knew about my nipple sensitivity. But she was always like she knew about my butthole sensitivity. So she was an asshole like that. Like she wouldn't take like no for an answer. And so one day,
it's funny when it's girls doing it.
Yeah. And one day I remember it doesn't matter, but
Illinois.
It was in like Montana and what's that beautiful little area? It doesn't matter. Whatever. I won't
Beaumont.
Think about it.
Beauville. No.
Twin something.
Twin Cities, Twin Peaks, Twin.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Twinkle little star.
So we're there and in some beautiful place, and she decided to, I don't know if it was just kiss or lick or bite my, I was sleeping and she was on my chest and she went in for a nip nibble, and that's like what I woke up to. And I didn't consciously do this. I just made a fist out of her reflex and just my fist starts flying toward her face. As I'm waking up and I see my fist just flying toward her nose, and I'm like, no. And I had to stop, and I stopped my fist on her nose like this just in time. And like, I am not like, you know, aggressive, and I'm not like a man, but I will cave your fucking face in if it's just like my reflexes. Like, you don't want to be punched in the nose by me.
That's double crazy reflex, because the first crazy reflex is the punch, but the more impressive reflex is the waking up out of a slumber, realizing what's happening, and then like stopping the brakes right before hitting the baby
cart. She never did it again.
Oh, of course
and
not.
And we both looked at each other. They're like, so that's the way I am with my butthole. And this story is how we're going to end part one, apparently, because we'll do a bonus. Because I'm thinking, you know, what do you think about this? About the idea of doing three public episodes and then
I like it. We'll do it bonus. Sam Harris style. We stop it mid conversation.
I like it.
And if you don't have enough money to the rest for the support it, if you write us, then we'll let you in for free, except without that part. You still have to pay. We're not Sam Harris. We don't have money from, I don't know where it comes from. Like, serious intellectual.
He's a wealthy person.
Serious intellectual money. Like, you can go to places with crystal glasses and, you know, serious conversation.
If you are so broke and so desperate to hear the second part of this that you write in, I would be happy to. I'll send you a unlisted YouTube link that you can have. But
the first chance you get $5.
Yeah, hand it over. Plus, yeah. You want to be a Patreon person anyway, because we have the Mind Under Matter camp out, that you'll want to be there for Patreon Day, because that's when you get to meet all of the other hardcores, and you got to get in early on that, because game it's just going to be regulars. The first year, I let some people slip through, like, I'll just join Patreon quick and add my name, and they won't be...
Who
I was
they?
The wiser. And I like knowing, like, oh, here's some people that will cheat the system. Oh, all right. Yeah. I see you. You may not know it, but I do.
We have a file on everybody.
We have a file on all of you. And so anyhow, I have butthole sensitivities that are similar-ish. Maybe it's because I got biffed or something we would biff each other. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Like Biff Tannen?
Like, speaking of grade school, we would knee each other in the ass. You would sneak up from behind and
knee interesting. Someone. We were a nuts culture in the South. I don't think anything happened to my ass, but like getting, or no, like that's not true. One time a pool cue, like when we were playing pool, like the group of friends, like if you were like taking a shot, like the pool cue would all of a sudden go up your
Did
ass.
They, then yell daddy's home because that's what we
But
did.
It was mainly nut taps and
are a classic.
Or you're like standing at a urinal and then the door opens and you don't see who's coming in and you're just hoping it's not one of your friends, and then it is, and they shove you into the urinal so your nuts hit it, it's wet, and then they shut off the lights and they're gone. And those were the best friends. We loved each other. They're all like doctors with kids now. I have like 18 friends that are legitimate doctors with a family and a boat, and
you know,
funny.
All the messed up things that they did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That'd be a good thing. Remind me on part two. That'd be a fun story. So I sit on this bidet. So I get to their place at like 10 p.m. or something like that. Go to bed right away. And then I wake up at like 4 a.m. and I gotta use, so I'm gonna try this bidet. And now they have their bedroom door is close to the bathroom. But they also have like, they don't have a bedroom door. They just have like a tapestry for whatever reason. And so I always have to be like very quiet when I'm over there and everything, so I don't wake anyone up. It's a whole thing. But anyhow, so I'm in there and I've never used a bidet before. And I hear no one has just an average review of bidets.
No, it's all 5 out of 2 stars.
yeah, exactly. And I go and I press the thing and it starts getting ready, like the thing comes out or whatever. And also it's like in front of their sink, so there's also a mirror, so I can see my own face and reaction to what's about to happen. And it starts and I'm like, and I hit stop right away. I'm like, I was not ready for that. And then I'm like, all right, I'm going to try it again. And then I hit start and I like, I had to cover my mouth. So now I'm like, that's what happened. And I'm like also giggling and seeing my face do this. And it's way too intense for me. Way too intense. But it's one of those things where I'm like, people do this. It must be okay. It must be, people do this and live. So must be safe enough. And so I went through it. And then And then I went back to bed. And then like hours later, I had to wake up for another small poop. It was like my butthole was curious and like looking for another. Because I'm a once a day person. I did it again. And then this time I like really tried to, because it was still a short one. So then I tried to stay on the whole time because I wasn't fully clean that first time. Same, like trying to control all of the noises and everything.
You weren't fully clean with the bidet?
Not the first time, because I couldn't handle it for long enough.
And also, a note on the once a day thing, like whenever it happens more than once a day, do you not think like, okay, but if this is a permanent thing, we're gonna have to reconsider this incarnation, because I might have to get out of here. If I become a 2 or 3 times a day person, I might not want
to
be here anymore.
Yeah, you should be able to. There should be times where you can like sit down with your family and be like, I've started shitting 3 times a day and like not for nothing, but I think I'm going to kill myself. And like,
at least change to do not resuscitate. At the very least, I'll change that on my driver's license.
Yeah, like, I don't want to like be judged for it. Like, yeah. I don't like Aesop Rock has a thing about, on this song called like Water Tower or something, where he talks about being put in a psych ward for having like, joked about suicide or something like that, and it happened like a couple times, and he talks about how like the line is something about how like I don't judge a man by how honorable his death is on a scale you made up anyway. And that really resonates with me. Like, I don't know, like it's sad if someone goes through like a shitty thing, or they're just like drunk and they have a moment or something like that. But if you really, like, if you get a chance to talk through your family, like, yeah, I've been shitting 3 times a day and like, you know, if there's a solution, fine. But otherwise, I don't know. It's nothing against you guys. I just think I'm going to peace out. And there should be a,
you've got all your paperwork and like your will sorted. This is my lawyer who's going to be telling you what you're each entitled to. You're entitled to this much of my debt, you're entitled to this much.
I feel like you should get to do that. Like, that shouldn't be like against the law. It shouldn't make everyone sad and ruin everyone else's life, because like why you have to hold on to everything even when you're shitting 10 times a day, whatever. So after this, so it's really intense, but I got it clean the second time, and then I share the story with them. I'm like, I tried out your thing, here's my review. It was so intense. And then Jake's like, oh yeah, well, didn't you turn down the pressure? You got turned down the pressure. I'm like, what, dude? I told you I'd never used a bidet. And then he takes the remote that's like anchored to the wall, and he's like, oh yeah, it just pops right off. And then on the back side of it
pops off. No one's gonna pop off.
And then on the back side of it, he's like, oh yeah, and I always press it down a couple on the pressure. The fuck, you don't tell a person that?
The one I have is like at halfway its civil rights water hose. It's like, it will tattoo your ass, not even the whole, it like was, the cheek, it'll be tattooed.
I didn't
with
shit
water.
For 3 days after. It was traumatic. It was, my butthole had PTSD from it.
Of course,
I was like
it
worried.
Did.
I was constipated for three days.
I don't know
afterwards.
Who it's for, like rhinoceroses or something. Like, why do you need that much pressure? No one's sphincter is that like callous.
It was crazy, and I but just assumed is, like, though. Well, I guess this is how people do it, and I guess this is, what do I know about washing buttholes?
I actually don't. I know very little about buttholes, even though there's a highlight clip where I pretend to know everything about buttholes. But
that's
like, do people that get railed like every day in the ass, like,
you
do they have
sensitivity?
Do they have like, yeah? But is it calloused? Is it,
does it loosen up a little?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it's like a mentality thing. If I had to take a wild guess, I think like mentally you just loosen toward the experience, and then that's. There's got to be like a lot of mental things that go through, like I don't know, Maggie, she used to work at a vet clinic with like a bunch of gay men, and they would I would like chat about this subject often with them, and they'd be like, that, like, top's a no-brainer for him, but bottom, that's a special, that's a real special, like,
there's more tops than bottoms.
at least from their point of view, they're like,
their data sample. Interesting.
They're like, that is, I really like you if you get to.
There's also verse versus ambidextrous.
Yeah.
That's probably the rarest.
The ambidextrous, where they're like, I like both. I flip a coin, top, bottom, makes no difference to me. I can't. Everyone's different.
It's a fun world that I find myself sometimes like curious about. And it's fun seeing like shows like the other two. They explore the gay world, Fire Island. They explore the gay world outside of just the stereotypes you see on Will and Grace and stuff. Like, oh, I never thought of that. I never thought of these two guys going out to eat. And then neither of like, it's like, well, you get the pizza. I wasn't going to eat yet because, oh, well, I thought you were like, no, well then, oh, then I'm not going to have the pizza either. And then I just never thought of that type of conversation happening. Reframing from combos. Eating because you're anticipating butt sex in several hours.
Anyway, that's the end of the episode.
The anal episode, right?
That's the anal episode. That's a little chair. That's
52% ass.
So if you want to hear how the rest of our thing goes, now you got to join Patreon. But this, I think this will be a fun. I don't know if this is like a monthly thing that we do the Void Visionary.
As opposed to bi-monthly?
Well, it could be every episode we try to do like a speed round version of like, this is how we catch up. But we blab so much that there's just no way.
I like making them whole episodes, and it kind of encourages us to craft a story rather than like get the information out of the way. Like, because it wouldn't have been as fun if it's just like, I went to the bidet, but I didn't know there was a pressure sensor and that was too much pressure.
But
the way you built up to it.
That's solid.
That's a story.
You see now the dilemma that I was in. Do you tell...
No, you did it perfect. You revealed the key variable at the perfect time.
Look who's a pro comedian. So that's it, everybody. This is the Mind Under Matter first Void Visionary. If you want to hear the rest of what our Voids Visionaries Remains Buffon was, you're going to have to check a part two on Patreon, where you also get all sorts of awesome stuff. But not only do you get actual things, you also keep the show alive and growing and getting better. I can't wait to tell you all the things that we're working on, all the visionary things that we're excited about coming up. So check that out and support the show that way. And until next time,
keep on salivating, honey.